good to be here. I've enjoyed our service a lot so far. The Sunday school class was an encouragement to me, the songs, and thank you for all of you who chose to worship here this morning with us. I'd like to think about choices this morning. We all made a number of choices this morning. Maybe some of them were choices that we made out of habit. Maybe some of them were conscious choices. But we make many choices in a day. Some of them we spend a good bit of time thinking about, big decisions that we need to make. We have responsibilities and we need to lead and we need to make those decisions. Others choices we sort of make by default. Getting up in the morning. I don't think a lot about that. It's a habit. We get up. The choices that we make in life, they come from a thought process. Even the ones we make subconsciously. There's no decisions that we make that are just simply in a vacuum. Some people, you might have heard someone say, maybe even heard me say, I did that without thinking. Is that really a true statement? I don't think it is. We always have a thought before there's an action. I'd like to just put three words up on the board here this morning. Thoughts lead to choices. Our choices lead to actions. You can open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30 this morning. I want to read five verses here. From Deuteronomy chapter 30. The setting for this passage of scripture, Moses is at the end of his life here, and he's speaking to a younger generation that was following. They were about to enter the promised land. Moses was not going to be able to enter the promised land because of a choice that he had made by striking the rock twice instead of speaking to it. And Joshua and Caleb and the younger generation were about to go in and conquer this promised land. And Moses is giving them his final address, his heart for the people. Let's start reading in verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto them. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Can you see Moses' heart here for the people? As he laid out these two choices for them, he was teaching them a thought process, I believe. The one choice was to choose to follow God and obey his commands and to experience the blessings that would come from that. Or the other was to choose to worship the gods around them and to suffer the consequences for their disobedience. It was a very simple, very black and white choice that Moses laid out here for the people. It was clear to them the path they wanted to take. Good and evil, blessing and cursing, God's blessing on their life or judgment for their actions. When we're faced with a decision like this, we know how to respond, don't we? We know the path that we want to take. We know that these major forks in the road, we know which way we want to go. It's the smaller choices that tend to trip us up, isn't it? But this morning, we all have to make this choice. Choose life or choose death. And to not make a decision is to make a decision. If we don't choose to follow after life, we are choosing death. That's the only other default. And this morning, those choices are before us as a people. Moses, here in verse 19, points out that he wanted the people to choose life, and it was not only for their good, but it says that both thou and thy seed may live. This was not a one-time decision for the people. His heart was that they would continue to choose life, even after he was gone. We need to make these decisions often in our life, sometimes daily, maybe sometimes it's hourly, to keep following Christ, to choose life. Often the decisions we make seem small and maybe insignificant, but these small decisions create habits in our lives that we do without thinking. Our decisions become habits, and our habits become our default response. I want us to consider that this morning a little bit. Choosing life will never become a habit. I don't want to give that thought at all. We will always need to make the choice to choose life. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we have the power to choose life and can be victorious over sin. But there are thought processes that we need to possess in our heart to help us to make these choices and be victorious. Make them habits in our life. The choices that you and I made this morning that we didn't even think about because we're simply acting out of habit, they define who we are. Our habits define who we are. This morning, you made a choice to come to this place to worship. You made a choice on what clothes you would put on to come here to worship. You made choices about what assembly you would worship with this morning. Those are choices that did not happen without a thought process. What thoughts did you have this morning as you made those decisions? Moses here was speaking to a younger generation, and I want to challenge you youth here this morning, and I consider myself a youth, but we make choices in life, and the choices that we make are far-reaching. You may think that they're small decisions now, and maybe they are, but they are setting us on a course for later on in life, and making who we are as a person. They're defining us. You're at a stage in life where your parents are stepping back a little bit, and they're allowing you to make some of your own decisions. And we like that freedom, don't we, to make our own decisions. But with that freedom to make decisions, there comes a responsibility. And free will choice has a responsibility that comes along with it. Your parents have spent years teaching you values and training you, and now they're trusting you to make decisions on your own. And I believe your parents and those in your authority would echo the heart of Moses to choose life. Choose life in these choices that you make. This happens in the small choices. Our small choices matter because they define who we are. Yes, the big decisions define us as well, but it's the small little ones that we spend little time or thought on that really say who we are. This morning, the goal of this message is I want to help us make some foundational decisions that help us make right decisions or to choose life going forward. Moses here pleaded with the people, therefore choose life. Please choose life. That's the cry this morning. As we make choices in life, choose life. We're always faced with in a decision, which way will we take? Choose life. Always choose life, not death. First choice, and probably the most important choice we will make, is who we're going to serve. Who is going to be on the throne of my heart? Who is going to call the shots? This is an umbrella choice that covers all of our other choices? Are we going to serve ourselves, serve our own flesh, serve the God of this world? Are we going to serve God and His kingdom? The two do not coexist. This morning, choose life. Choose Christ to be on the throne of your heart. Choose Him to be your ruler, your guide, your leader. Romans 6:16-18 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether you sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Serve righteousness. Choose life. To not decide is to decide who we're going to serve. Moses was calling the people here to choose life. Choose life, not death. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. Another thought process we need to consider when making choices. And Lot didn't make a very good choice here. We know this story. We're just going to read a couple verses here. When we're making choices, we need to think about the long term. Lot, he made a choice thinking about today. Verse 6 through verse 13. "And the land was not able to bear them." We know this story. Abraham and Lot were here. They had lots of cattle. They could not dwell together. Their servants started to fight. "And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Lot had a choice to make here. Abraham took him out there and said, "You take whichever land you want, and I'll take the other land." And Lot made a decision here on his future and the direction that him and his family would go. He made that choice to, it says here, he put his tent in the plain and he pitched it towards Sodom. He was thinking about today. He was thinking about what was going to benefit him the most right now. And we do the same thing. We think about what's going to benefit us right now. We can even come up with a solid reasoning on why we should make this choice. And we convince ourselves without thinking down the road and how this would work out for us and our families. I don't believe Lot thought about where this was going to take him. He only looked at the present, what would benefit him the most financially. We can think that these choices that we make are only affecting us, but no man is an island, right? Our choices affect those around us. Lot made this choice to pitch his tent towards Sodom, and I'm sure he never dreamed the day that he made that choice on which land he would choose that someday he'd be coming out of that city with only his two daughters. Everything else that he had was left behind. It was getting burned up because God was judging Sodom and Gomorrah. He never dreamed that. But our decisions need to be thinking past today. We need to think into the future. Where is this going to take me? How is this going to work out for me? Is it going to take me where I want to go? Is this choosing life? We need to make decisions in light of the long-term spiritual implications that it may have for us. And we don't know the road ahead. Sometimes we just need to make the best choice that we know to make. But we have God's word that shines the light, points us the way that we need to go. and we move forward in faith in that. We know that if we follow what's written in the Word, that we're going to make it where we want to go. We'll be able to choose life if we follow what's laid out in the Bible. I want to spend the rest of our time here this morning thinking about making personal commitments to make good choices. I want to look at two men from the Old Testament that made clear choices and commitments. First one is Daniel. We're not going to turn there. We know this story well. It says, Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes, of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. Brothers and sisters, this morning we need a purpose in our own hearts that we're not going to defile ourselves. I am responsible for my choices and my actions, not someone else. We've been studying the spiritual condition of Israel during this time when Daniel was taken captive. It was a deplorable situation. They would have had every excuse to make room for themselves in this foreign land, to excuse any kind of behavior that they wanted to indulge in. But they had made a commitment to God, not when they were taken captive, not when they showed up in Babylon, but back in Israel, they had made a commitment that they would follow God above all else, that they would not compromise. This was not a choice they made when they saw that forbidden, or that unclean meat that they were forbidden to eat. This was not a choice that they made when they were brought before the image and they were told to bow down. That's not when they made this choice. They had made this commitment long before. We have to make choices before we find ourselves at the fork in the road, or the heat of the moment, we call it. We need to choose before then how we're going to respond and have made those commitments earlier on in life so that we can choose life when we get to that point. The other person I'd like to look at is David. And you can turn to Psalms 100. We'll spend the rest of our time here this morning. Psalm 101. We'll look at some personal commitments that David made to choose life. Psalm 101. Let's read the chapter here. And as we read it, I'd like for you to notice how many times David says, I will and I shall in this passage. These are personal choices that David made, commitments that he was going to keep. We know David made mistakes, for sure. He was not perfect, but he had a heart towards God, and he made choices on how he was going to carry that out in his life. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within mine house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I'd like to look at 9 choices or commitments that David made in this passage that helped him with his day-to-day choices. The first one is in verse 1. He says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. David made a commitment here, I believe, in his attitude, on how he was going to approach life. He says, I'm going to sing. I'm going to worship. Singing and praising God is a choice, isn't it? Sure, on a beautiful morning, it's natural for us to sing and praise and lift our hearts in worship. But there's times in life where we face difficult things. And we have to make a decision on how we're going to address this, or how we're going to handle this situation. We know from other Psalms that David faced very difficult situations in his life. But in those situations, he turned to God. We see that many time and time again. When he was running from Saul, when he was running from Absalom, he pours out his heart in song to God and finds encouragement. When challenge of life came his way, David was committed that he was going to sing and be joyful, even if the surrounding situation didn't lend itself to that. What's our default response when we are faced with a discouraging situation? Remember, our thoughts produce choices, and our choices produce actions. What is our choice when we face these situations? Do we allow ourselves to just wallow in self-pity and discouragement and tally all of the things that are going against us? Or do we choose joy? Do we choose to sing and allow our minds to dwell on thoughts that lift us up? It's an opportunity for us to choose life in these situations. Which one are we going to choose? Will we choose to sing or choose to be discouraged and down? Second thing I noticed from this passage is in verse 2, I will behave myself wisely. This is a commitment that David made. This word, behave myself, means to be prudent, to act wisely, to give attention to ponder. As I understand this word, it means to be deliberate. David said, I'm going to conduct myself in a way that I consider a situation, I think about it before I respond to it. David said, I'm not going to just react to every situation that comes my way, but I'm going to think about that. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to consider it. Too often, I know I react to a situation before I think and before I pray about it, just react to it. David realized in verse 2 here that he was going to need help with this. It's not natural for us to calmly take situations. He says, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? He realized his need for divine help in handling the situations that came his way. He's going to behave himself wisely. And this has a lot of practical applications that we could think about. Behave ourselves wisely. Young people, are we acting in a way, in a mature way? Are we considering our actions? Older people, are we acting in a mature way? Are we showing people the way to go? Are we the person that's always up in the air about something and blowing off our top? Or are we the person that is behaving ourselves wisely? Third one is also from verse 2. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. This is a choice that David made. At home is a place where our true colors come out, isn't it? We can put on a good front when we're in public or when we have our church family or our peers around us. But how about when we're by ourselves, we're at home, just our family, no one else is there to perceive how we are relating, how we are acting? How do we respond to situations at home with our children? There can be times that small children require a choice to remain calm and to choose to be relaxed and not become upset when things are starting to unravel. I'm sure those of you with more children than I have can relate to that better, but we need to have patience at home, patience in relating to our families. Older siblings to younger siblings, how do we relate to them? The fourth one we see here is in verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. We get to choose what we're going to allow our eyes to feed on. There's times we have no control of what comes in front of our eyes, but we have a choice to make, whether we're going to dwell on those things, to look again, to continue taking that in, or are we going to turn our eyes away from that, divert our attention somewhere else? This is a commitment that we need to make before we are faced with this situation. Are we setting ourselves up for failure? Make those hard choices before we get to the heat of the moment, and to have a plan on how we're going to handle that temptation. The devil knows that we know how to make big decisions, so he places these small decisions in our path to try to trip us up. Get the ones that we're not prepared for is where he can trip us up. Job said in Job 31 that he made a covenant with his eyes. He had made a decision. He had purpose in his heart that he was not going to allow his eyes to feast on things that would choose death. He was going to choose life with what he chose to look at. You and I need to make these choices on what we're going to place in front of our eyes. It's not always out there, isn't it? We have a tool that we carry in our pocket, most of us, that there's no end to what we can look at if we choose to make those choices. Let's choose life. Choose life in these situations. Verse 4 and verse 7, there's a commitment to honesty. A froward heart shall depart from me. And in verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. A commitment to honesty and transparency. This is our practice. This is our habit, that we are open and honest. We're not trying to hide something. David made this commitment, and that's the way he was going to conduct his life. When someone we do business with wants to pay us cash for a little better deal, just had this happen this last week. Come on, just everyone does it. Let's do this in cash. No, our business deals are honest and transparent. We don't need to try to hide anything or cover anything up. It's a decision that we make on how we're going to make our choices. We're going to be honest. We're going to be trustworthy. Honesty in our conversations. It can be easy to be two-faced, to say one thing to someone and say something else to another person. Make our words fit the situation. But David made this commitment to be a man of honesty and integrity. That's the choice he was going to make, and stick with that commitment. Number 6, I will know no wicked person. Know means to be familiar or to have as a friend or to have respect for. We need to make these commitments on who we're going to associate with. If we are choosing life, we're going to choose friends and people we associate with on a regular basis, people that build us up and encourage us in our walk with Christ. We're only fooling ourselves if we think we can closely associate with unbelievers and they will not have an effect on the way we make choices, especially if we look up to them and idolize them as people being successful and people that are really making it in life. If we continue to associate ourselves with them, they're going to affect the way we think. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. It will wear off on us. And their worldview and their goals should be different than ours. And we pursue life. We are choosing life. And these associations do not help us in that. And David said he's going to cut those things off that pull him away from serving Christ and from choosing life. Seventh one here is, in verse 5, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. It's easy to join a conversation that is tearing someone else down, isn't it? It's easy to jump into that conversation and help with that and continue that gossip. David made a commitment here that his conversations were going to be conversations that built others up. This was a choice that he made, a commitment that he made, that he was not going to tear other people down and to gossip about them. Eleanor Roosevelt said this, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. Those are choices that we can make, what we're going to discuss. And it doesn't build us up or other people up if we're going to tear other people down. David made this personal commitment. He would avoid these conversations. Also in verse 5, number 8, David said he's not going to tolerate pride. Pride is very native to our fallen nature, isn't it? We want to lift ourselves up, put ourselves at the front, put others in second place. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised there is wisdom." Think about the situations that we find ourselves, the conflicts that we find ourselves in. Only by pride cometh contention. Who's the proud person in the situation when we can't get along with someone else? Is it me? Ask ourselves this question. David said, "I will not, he that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." Not going to be with people that were proud, and also choose to put down himself and not be a proud person himself. These are choices that we make where we're choosing life. And number 9, found in verse 6, "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land." Who are we using as mentors and people that we seek advice from? Who are the people that we go to for advice? Who are the people that we think have achieved success? Is it the person with the biggest following on social media? Or is it the man who has multiple businesses? Or is it the person who is faithful? The faithful people in the land. Those are the people that we look up to and go to for advice in making decisions. These people may not be the sharpest businessmen. They might not be the role models of society. But David made a commitment here to follow the people that were faithful. David was making choices that would take him on a path that he wanted to go. He was choosing life. These choices that David and Daniel make, they were small. Seem small, but they set a trajectory for their life. The choices that we make, they may seem small today, but they're charting a path for us and those that follow behind us. This morning as we make choices, I hope we can think about the thought processes that David and Daniel used to make their choices and make those commitments in our lives that we can make choices that where we choose life. We're all faced with this choice to choose life, and the opposite is to choose death. Let's choose life this morning. Our choices, though small and seemingly insignificant, define who we are. We're the sum of our choices. That's who we are. With the freedom of choice comes a responsibility, and I am responsible for my actions. I want us to remember that. Choose life in the choices that we make, and make strong personal commitments, and look to Christ for strength to make these choices and to be a blessing to those who follow behind us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, just thank you that for the people who chose to worship here with us, pray that you've blessed them this morning in their walk of life, wherever they're at in their journey. Lord, just thank you for choosing us before we had the opportunity to choose you. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to choose life when we deserve death. And Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here this morning who has not made the choice to follow you, I pray that your spirit would convict them, speak to them, draw them to yourself. I pray that you would use the foolishness of preaching this morning to accomplish your will in the world. Just go with us here this morning, Lord. Keep us in your care. We ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you.